Presentation from WCHL News, winner of the Edward R. Murrow Award for Excellence in Journalism.
The presenting sponsor of today's forum is the Town of Chapel Hill's Economic Development Office, which works to attract and retain businesses and jobs in locations convenient to transit and housing, all in an effort to build a sustainable economy in which to live, work, and play. Businesses that have recently opened or expanded in Chapel Hill include DSI Comedy, Google, Kiona, Petco, and Youth Digital, bringing an additional 100 jobs to Chapel Hill. Chapel Hill is open for business, open to business, every day of the year. Economic development in Chapel Hill, right on the edge of the Triangle.
It's the 2015 WCHL Community Forum, presented by the Town of Chapel Hill Economic Development. Our annual forum features Chapel Borough's movers and shakers debating the big issues affecting our community and you. This hour we discuss town and county budgets, and it begins now.
Major, major things that need to be funded or things that we want to fund at the very least. So let me throw open the question first of all to all four of you, and we'll just go left to right around the table. Start with George Cianciolo. What is our most urgent need?
Well, certainly in Chapel Hill, it's our public safety facilities. Our police station has been in need of replacement for years now, and several of our fire stations as well. So I'd say that's the one that is most immediate. It's interesting, you just mentioned, Aaron, wants, and I think that's the difference between what we want and what we absolutely need. And we're trying to distinguish between those in the Chapel Hill budget process, the ones that we absolutely have to have. And I should have added new buses, because we all know that we have 42 buses that need replacement in the next couple of years. So those are our needs. The wants are a much longer list.
And it's just sort of telling, just sort of in mid-sentence, you're coming up with new ones. I sat down and I started jotting them down earlier today. Upgrade buses, you mentioned that. Chapel Hill Police Station, fire stations, stormwater improvements. Orange County needs a new jail. Schools need funding. What to do with solid waste? And that's just what I came up with in 15 seconds of jotting things down. So Bonnie Hauser.
Well, I'm going to try and be a little bit more strategic, because you could jump on all these issues, but I think we have a need to be a lot more careful about what we're spending on, because I don't see I look at our budget, I don't think our spending is exactly aligned with our most pressing needs, which are things like essential school repairs. And I'm seeing us invest in lots of overhead infrastructure, lots of outdated policies, lots of silos. And so I'll stop there and we'll keep going after that.
Damon Siles.
Sure. Well, just talking from the perspective of the town of Carrboro, I think we have one common big need coming up, which George already mentioned, which is our partnership with Chapel Hill Transit and capital needs for that system. That's not something we're necessarily going to address in the coming fiscal year, because we're still waiting for the results from a long-range financial sustainability study to kind of send us along a path to make that happen. But it certainly will be a big expense in the next couple of years. A big priority in the town of Carrboro right now is making sure that we stay on track with providing a housing wage for town employees. We started with that this fiscal year, and we'll continue to complete that project in the next two fiscal years. So those are a couple that are on my radar.
And David, we were talking about the housing wage a couple of hours ago, and we were talking about affordable housing. But for people who are just joining us, what actually is a housing wage? Because I actually just heard this concept today.
Well, one of your previous panelists described that Chapel Hill and Carrboro and Orange County now have a living wage policy. Carrboro has had one for many years. Starting this year, Town of Carrboro actually started providing a housing wage to employees, which is basically higher than a minimum wage. It's meant to embrace the concept of providing a pay to employees that would cover their housing costs, which is more than simply a living wage, but in fact takes into account cost of housing and transportation and so on. So we're working on that, getting our lowest paid employees up to that level now. It's about $15 or so an hour, and we have a few more people to cover, and we'll do that this year and next year.
And just to give you a sense of the numbers, minimum wage is $7.25, right? Living wage is about $12.50.
We've been at just under shy of $12 an hour, and now we're moving up to about $15 or so.
About $15. So how many employees does Carrboro have? How much is $4 an hour in terms of
we have a total employee staff of around 150 full-time equivalents. We're moving about 15 or so of our lowest paid employees up to or above the housing wage.
Mia Burrows.
So I love this topic, because I think budgets really reflect your values. It's really where I think the rubber meets the road in terms of governing and showing people what you really care about. And the things that, there are two things, I'm going to cheat, as usual. There are two critical things, and that they have...
We're just on the school board, cheating is wrong.
No comment. There's two topics that I think are just going to be the big issues, and both of them have the one thing in common, which is the state has not been helping us, and so have made these issues even bigger. And the first one is human services. I know your last hour was all about poverty, and so folks who've been listening, you know, have heard about those kinds of things that the state's cut, you know, support to child care. I'll just go with that example. That's a very big one. The county actually in the last budget cycle and actually throughout this year has continued to add in extra funds to make up for where the state cut. And I think we'll see that in a whole range of human services that folks need to get out the door and get the jobs that we want them to have. You can't, you know, without leaving their children in an unsafe place or those kinds of things. The other big issue is capital as well. The big thing coming up that I suspect we'll talk about more is that we're really making, the county made a big step on Tuesday to put forth a bond in November 2016 to upgrade our old school buildings. And in both school districts too, very important thing to know. It's not just Chapel Hill Carborough, but both school districts. And half the buildings in the two districts were built before Watergate. Some of them were built before I was born, and I don't want to tell you how long that was, but it was some time ago. And it's the same thing. People say, well, we must not have had, a plan to keep the schools up. I think that's not taking into account explosive growth that we had in the schools in the 90s and in the first decade of the century. And then also, since the recession, we've had, big capital cuts from the state and the county. The state's taken away lottery funds, which were intended for capital. So we're now just turning a corner, I think, in the county and taking advantage of a timely opportunity to catch up, get some of our older buildings in good shape, and also to increase capacity so that we can put off building whole new schools down the road. So we get sort of you get your money both in terms of the building you get when you've revised it or refurbished it, and you get the money that you then save for having not built a new school and all that goes with that.
And Mia, you just mentioned at the outset of that what we do with our budget reflects our values, and I think that's a really important point to raise. We've just had 2 hours. The last 2 hours were on affordability and poverty. I'm really glad we had a chance to have those 3 hours together, because that really is our values block in the middle of the day, and then really the whole forum today is about values, but those three in particular go very well together. So to George, Mia, and Damon, representing Chapel Hill, Carborough, and Orange County. I want to address this next question, and then Bonnie, I know you have a comment, and I want to address the following question to you. We are going into budget season. We love to have this panel at the forum every 2 years, because every 2 years or right around this time, towns and county are coming up with their budgets, and everyone wants to know the same thing every 2 years. What should we be expecting? Will there be a property tax increase? Will there be cuts? What will be cut? What can we expect from towns and county? Damon.
Well, our plan in Carborough is not to raise property taxes this year, and it looks like we're on track to avoid that again for the seventh year in a row. Mm-hmm.
Any changes to funding for services?
No. Okay. I mean, we always have new projects that float up to the top of the list as the needs arise and as our capital improvement program comes about. So,
George Santiello.
Yeah. I think we're very lucky in Chapel Hill that we have an excellent town manager and an excellent finance director that have managed, even during the recession, to keep tax increases at a very minimum. I think it was 4 or 5 straight years without an increase, and then we had a 2-cent increase, and then last year a 1-cent increase. But still, the total since 2009, I think our tax rate has increased 6.1% versus 8.9% for inflation. So I think they've done an excellent job. This year, what we're looking at is going out to the public with probably a $40 million bond issue, but that would not require an increase in taxes. And we're also proposing to do $50 million in incremental financing, incremental debt financing that would address the issues of our public safety requirements and several others, and that won't require a tax increase. So we're actually looking, if the bond is approved, for potentially $50 or $90 million in capital improvements without any increase in taxes. Obviously, we could increase taxes further and get more in terms of our long-range capital improvement budget is over $200 million. So 1 cent in the tax rate would provide about another $9 million in potential capital improvement budget. But as of right now, I think we're not looking at any tax increase.
And before we get to Mia, because this bond issue may be on the ballot this fall, say a little bit more about $40 million or $90 million without a tax increase, how that works.
Well, Chapel Hill, again, has done an excellent job of handling its debt. And, you know, we've retired as some of the older bonds have been utilized. We've retired them. And so we have capacity of taking on an additional $40 million without any increase. We can handle it through our current debt funds. And so what we're looking at there is, I think, $16 million or so for streets and sidewalks, another $5 million for trails and greenways, about $7 or $8 million for parks. And when the one issue we have not resolved yet is whether to spend money from a potential bond on a transfer station, a solid waste transfer station. And part of that is we're looking for some additional information from our colleagues in Carrboro and Hillsborough and the county, whether they would be interested in participating. We don't want to build a transfer station that's so small that that they can't participate. On the other hand, we don't want to build one that's too big that if they choose not to participate, that we're carrying the burden ourselves.
Mia Burrows.
So I can't speak in terms of the county because it's in terms of whether there'll be a tax increase or not a tax increase because, among other things, our budget season's just getting started. In fact, we, as listeners may know, we fund schools, both school districts as well as county services, and we will see this, the commission will see the school's budgets next week for the first time. And then the manager will make a budget recommendation May 14th, and then we'll have a discussion about that May 19th. So there's still a whole lot of unknowns out there. That said, things that we know, last year the Chapel Hill Carrboro had an enormous hole that had to be dealt with from stimulus funds running out, and there were things that we knew about that were coming. I don't foresee that there's going to be a huge pressure to raise taxes this time, but I always like to point out I've been a commissioner for 5 months, so and I am only one of seven experienced commissioners, and so I'm not willing to make a bet on that one at all. But certainly, we'll be looking closely at the budget. The other thing, again, that there will be talk, I think, even though this is something that's a long-term thing, aren't the bonds that the commissioners have moved forward. There'll be talk about whether that's going to force a tax increase. As Chapel Hill has said, that's definitely not going. Theirs is the bond is not going to cause a tax increase. With the county, we've been hearing worst case scenarios, which I'll tell you a little bit more about in a minute. But I would say that the thing to know, you have to really look at the numbers about how projections are made. And I checked this morning with our budget director, and the budget scenarios that you'll hear, even something worst case of it'll be a 5 cent tax increase, it's very important to know, A, however much we might have to increase taxes for the bonds, that would be over multiple years. And that figure of 5 cents, I believe to be a very conservative calculus, shall we say, as to the way it was calculated. It assumes absolutely no growth in the county budget for the next 20 years. And I think I can look at my colleagues here and say, we've got much bigger problems in this county if we have no growth over the next 20 years. So I would say that is absolutely worst case scenario. The other thing is it assumes the commissioners wouldn't necessarily delay other projects and those kinds of, you know, things. There's a lot more play than you might hear. So again, I'm not going to make long-term predictions, but I certainly understand that folks, I think I said to you last spring when we talked, there's a real social justice reason not to raise taxes at this point. You don't want to be doing that unless you have to, because you might be pricing people out of the county, and I think the commissioners are acutely aware of that.
Turning now to Bonnie Hauser as the community member here in the room, one of the things we started with, and you had your hand up when we were talking about the budget reflects the values of the community. So when we talk about are our budget priorities in place, what we're really asking is are our values in place. So I'll turn to Bonnie first, but for everyone, are our values in the right place when it comes to budget priorities? If not, why not and how not?
So I want to take this in two parts, because we're talking about tax increases, but we need to start, that's the tip of the iceberg, because we need to start and remember that we are now paying by far probably 50% higher taxes than anybody else in North Carolina. So we're starting with a very high tax base, and it's really due to a series of structural problems that no one is at fault for. One is we're operating four governments, two school systems, and three water systems in a little community of 140,000 people. That's $400 million per year in operating expenses. That's a lot of money. Half of the property in the county is tax exempt or under some kind of agricultural easement. So we're not productive in terms of the tax generation that we can get out of our real estate. And of course, we don't have a commercial tax base. So we have some structural problems, it's creating silos within silos, and it's a very burdensome cost structure, and it's not scalable. So if we continue to do things the way we're doing, as we grow, our costs are going to increase faster than our revenues, and that's a big concern for me. So and none of these and every government is dealing with their own issues, but nobody has come up with ways for us to work together. And it's showing in our, you know, where everything is poised for growth, but the data says we're not growing anymore. The data says our school enrollment's not growing. The data says our population isn't growing. Wake County is growing like, the triangle in general is growing like gangbusters. So these are issues that we are not looking at, and I don't know what the process is to create or start that conversation. And if I had to, since it's the number one expense, two school systems in the county is $100 million, that really we need a better way to look at how we fund that.
And you mentioned silos. You've mentioned silos twice now. Do you see that as sort of the sort of central structural issue, so many different agencies kind of doing the same thing?
Everybody's doing their own. Every silo has its own governance and their own leadership and their own properties and their own facilities and their own priorities. And working together, you can all of a sudden create a lot more flexibility and scale. I'll give you an example, parks. Orange County just approved a $40 million park plan. And that is going to put more county parks in isolated rural areas of the county. I mean, we're going to get a park in Sly. Does anyone know where Sly is? Have you been to Sly? So now we saw what happened when Hillsborough opened up Riverwalk. It was extremely popular. So would the county be better off working with the towns to create connected bikeways and greenways that are serving, especially as we become denser? Don't we need more green spaces, and can we look to the county working with the towns to create that rather than building parks in the county? That's just one example of the ways we could work together.
A lot of good points in there. Do we agree with that assessment, George Santiello?
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with anything Bonnie said, but one issue she raised that I think for Chapel Hill is a significant issue, but I don't think is very addressable, is the non-taxable property.
I mean, I agree.
We have a huge amount of non-taxable property, both with the university, schools, and churches, and it's unlike some of our neighboring communities like Durham and Raleigh, where they have a lot of other land that is taxable, is developable. So I think for Chapel Hill, the issue that certainly I've been pushing, and I think several of my colleagues, is we have to make use of whatever land we have available to try to get more commercial development, more taxable development. And unfortunately, we often equate taxable development with commercial development. And as you know, Greenbridge is a good example, 140 West Franklin are good examples of residential development that does not, that is revenue positive. It doesn't have a significant impact on the school systems. The roads and sidewalks were already there, and yet there's very high taxable property there. I think Greenbridge may be the highest per acre tax value in the county. It's something like $50 million per acre. But so I think, you know, I agree with Bonnie on those issues, and I think the non-taxable property issue is one that's not going to be readily solved, and it's one we just have to say, okay, we're going to have to live with it. Let's find some other solutions.
Damon Siles.
Well, I think George raises an important point about this issue of using our existing land, and that speaks to the question of how we grow. I want to resist the premise that growing, that the community growing somehow leads to exponential cost increases. I just don't think that that's a premise I accept. It depends on how you grow. And I think we have a particular challenge in the towns of Carborough and Chapel Hill in talking about a limited land, an urban services boundary that we've all agreed for the most part we want to grow within. That means we need to make decisions about land uses. And I think if we grow in a smart way, we can actually accommodate growth and do that in a way that doesn't lead to exponential cost increases. I also, you know, I think talking about silos in a community like Orange County, where we do, as you said, Bonnie, have four local governments, two school systems, and so on, I think that talking about it in that way maybe has some attraction, but I think it can sometimes lead us to talking about those governments as if they act in silos and don't cooperate. In fact, we cooperate quite frequently with our partners and quite extensively. We mentioned, for example, Chapel Hill Transit. That's a perfect example of a partnership between the two towns and the university that has been incredibly successful. We partner on all kinds of issues at the county level. So I think, yes, we should be looking for opportunities to partner with our community, among our communities, but I want to resist the notion that somehow we're not doing that now. We certainly are.
And a lot of points being raised here. Mia, you mentioned a couple of points about growth earlier, sort of the kind of a double-edged sword, where increased growth means more demand for services. It also increases revenue, and we've talked about that in right. Two different contexts. Your thoughts on what's been said?
Well, actually, it was... the growth is exactly. I mean, if you have acknowledged the school systems, of course, you see the real correlation with growth when the growth has families. And with children, and clearly that can be. But the other thing is, it depends on your design. Certain kinds of new developments that we've had have been very, very attractive to families, and have kids all over the place. Let's say it is a driveway or a garage, those kinds of things, a little patch of grass. Those developments, even if they're fairly dense, have lots of kids. East 54, Greenbridge, have one or two kids apiece. So there's a whole lot that a variability within the concept of growth that would have an expense in that particular category. So that's another thing. The other thing is that Bonnie had mentioned that the schools are not growing much. Well, much like the Great Depression, the Great Recession reduced birth rates and decreased family sizes. So I think where we are right now is we're in sort of a window where folks made choices, spread out their, how frequently they have children, how many children, and those kinds of things. But I'll tell you, my neighborhood in North Chapel Hill, real close to here, five houses have turned over in the last 6 months, and they all have school children when they've moved in. So it's just, I think we're going to see that's going to shift right back up in the next couple of years.
Damon and Bonnie both have points. Bonnie, I want to turn to you because I think our three elected officials have all just sort of made similar points to the effect of if we promote the right kind of growth, we can address some of these issues. Is that just sort of in general something that you agree with?
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I also agree that there's nothing we can do about the not-for-profits. You know, these are structural, these are givens. So now the question is, what can we do to operate efficiently given those conditions? Right, and that's really where I'm thinking, and And so that's, and I'm also not being critical of things. I mean, it's tempting, but I'm not going to be critical of decisions that have been made in the past. The question is, how do we continue to work in the future? Now, I agree on with what Damon's point about Chapel Hill Transit as a collaboration, and it's jointly funded. That's one of the unique operations in this county that is jointly, that is truly a shared service. Right. Imagine if that was done with parks or solid waste or even police and public safety. Right. You're going to build a new police station. Is it possible that the public safety guys already work together very closely in mutual aid. Is it possible to create shared services? And these are big ideas. They take some planning. But while we're not planning them, we are jumping ahead and making investments that undermine our ability to move forward with those kinds of big ideas. Because I think I'm with some of the smartest people in the county when it comes to managing some of these expenses. But
Damon Stiles, and then I want to let George have the last word here.
Yeah, it's certainly important that we continue to look for opportunities to partner with each other, and we do that. I want to reiterate that point. We do that. Some of the questions about particular services that each of our governments provide, public safety and so on, fire and rescue, these questions have been studied in some detail over the past several years about what efficiencies would or would not be gained by combining them. And it turns out, for example, that when we did a study several years ago, the fire and rescue services in our communities, that it was found that you wouldn't really gain a lot of efficiency by combining the services, because the services have different needs based on their unique needs of their communities. So I think, yes, we should continue to study those opportunities, but we are studying those opportunities, and we continue to do that. I also wanted to come back just very quickly to this point about population growth kind of, you know, slowing or maybe not meeting some previous projections. You know, I think, first of all, there are some economic and other kinds of context issues that have influenced that. But I also think it's important that, you know, part of it has to do with the decisions that our communities have made about land uses and what we will permit to happen in terms of growth in our community. And if we are going to make it difficult for people to move into this community who wish to, we know there's great demand, that places pressure on things like the housing market, which does things like increase the cost of land and housing. So all of those things are connected. We can influence the way that our community grows by making important decisions about land uses,
We got to take a quick break. Before we do, I want George Cianciolo to respond to what Bonnie Hauser said, because you were nodding through that. We're talking about ways to work together. Are there specific ways that you can think of where towns and county can work together more that they're not?
Well, I think we already are working together. I mean, we're sharing parks. If you look at the parks in Chapel Hill, Homestead, mm-hmm. Southern Community, Cedar Falls, the county's involved in all of those.
The Aquatic Center.
And in terms of services, although we don't have anything official, I know that both Dan Jones and Chris Blue have said that, for instance, if there's a problem in the ETJ, who's ever closest responds. They don't look at boundaries and say, well, that's right. Outside services. So I think they will continue to look for ways to work together. Whether we do it on capital needs, I don't know. That's something that will be looked at in the future.
We got to take a break. You're listening to our discussion of budgets here on the 2015 WCHL Community Forum presented by the Town of Chapel Hill Economic Development. If you have questions, you're listening out there, submit them on Twitter with the hashtag WCHLForum. This is Aaron Keck. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Dwight Bassett with Chapel Hill Economic Development, and we're thrilled to be the presenting sponsor for this year's WCHL Community Forum. The Economic Development Office works to attract and retain businesses and jobs in locations convenient to transit and housing, all in an effort to build a sustainable economy in which to live, work, and play. Chapel Hill is open to business and open for business every day of the year. Follow us on Twitter at @CHEconDev. Chapel Hill, right on the edge of the triangle.
Blue Ribbon Mentor Advocate is a comprehensive support program for students in the Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools. If you enjoy reading, going on walks, baking, or playing basketball with a child, then Blue Ribbon is the perfect opportunity for you. We're looking for volunteers to serve 2 hours a week for a minimum of 2 years. Contact Ramble Johnson at 919-918-2170, extension 5. Blue Ribbon thanks WCHL for supporting our program.
UNC Athletics has been the subject of much scrutiny in recent years, with revelations of an academic scandal dating back to the early 90s. What is Carolina doing to ensure this does not happen again? And is too much emphasis being placed on athletics by universities in general? Tune in today at 2 p.m. for a discussion on athletics at UNC. It's the WCHL Community Forum presented by the Town of Chapel Hill Economic Development. Listen on 97.9 FM and 1360 AM or by streaming on chapelboro.com. And follow the discussion live on Twitter. Welcome back to the 2015 WCHL Community Forum presented by the Town of Chapel Hill Economic Development. Thanks to our sponsors, Orange County Government, Coleman, Huntoon & Brown, the Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce, Jersey Mike's, and Durham Technical Community College. Once again, here's Aaron Keck.
Our topic this hour is budgets, and I'm joined by our panelists, Mia Burrows, George Cianciolo, Bonnie Hauser, and Damon Siles. We've had a great conversation so far. Again, you can submit questions via Twitter by using the hashtag WCHLForum. And we've been talking a lot about consolidation of services in the last half hour. I want to begin, actually. Bonnie Hauser mentioned that she had a question for the panelists about funding as well. So let me throw it open to you.
I have a question about growth. And I, by the way, love the conversation on land use because I think that really needs a hard look everywhere in the county. So I would, you would have my support on that all the way. My question on growth is, if we look at what's happening on our neighboring counties, Northern Chatham, Wake County, Durham, these counties are, the triangle is one of the fastest growing parts of the country, not even the state. So, but we're not growing. And so are we not growing because of a hiccup in the recession, or is there something wrong with our local economy and the quality of our services, our quality of life, that's making, that Wake is now, is Wake now catching up? Is Chatham catching up? Are their schools catching up so that now they are offering a competitive option? As we know, Wake End is adding 20,000 kids to their schools, which is more than our both our school systems combined.
Mia Burrows, you're shaking your head, so I'll let you go.
Well, I think even in some ways you answered the question by where you started, which is, I think a lot of that has to do with land use. Whether the decisions that, you know, Chatham has made, and I haven't followed it closely, about, you know, approving whole segments of Pittsburgh that are, you know, a whole new development there that's just bigger than the entire town. That's a land use decision. Wake County, I think I would venture to guess that that's the same thing. And I'm telling you, having worked with our district to open a school, the idea of opening in Wake County the equivalent of two school districts worth of schools every couple of years, it's not good. It's caused incredible amounts of unhappiness over the years. I think a lot of the instability in the political situation over in Wake County, part of that was a real reaction to growth that wasn't being managed by the commissioner. The commissioners were not paying for new schools fast enough, and the parents, you know, were really unhappy, took that out on the school board, and a whole series of other things happened there. So it would make me very nervous to use Wake as an option, but I really do think all of that comes back to land use. And I think that the Carrboro Alderman, the Chapel Hill Town Council, and the Orange Commissioners, I think I really think that is what we're thinking a lot about, and I think maybe perhaps thinking about differently than we, you know, the boards and commissions prior to who's serving now. And I think I would say probably the biggest changes that we've been seeing maybe are on the Chapel Hill Town Council on that.
And we've been talking about land use throughout the day, and we're going to continue to talk about it as we talk about the changing faces of Chapel Hill and Carrboro. But are there ways that we can sort of reimagine or rethink land use to address these issues? George Santiago.
Well, I think it is a land use issue for Chapel Hill. As Damon mentioned earlier, the urban services boundary, even if we chose to expand that, we probably can't, because the state took away the ability to annex land, so in the ETJ. So, I mean, we're basically restricted to about 5%, I think, of greenfield areas for development, which means that any new development is going to be redevelopment. And I think everyone knows the difficulty of that. Since most new development is higher density, you're usually butting up against the neighborhood, multiple neighborhoods. everyone says they want more commercial retail development, and then they add, but not next to me. I mean, and so we're facing those challenges of if we truly want to grow, and I think and we view that growth as a way to keep the tax rates down, then we have to accept the fact that we're going to have more dense development, and we have to decide where can it go, and I think those challenges are quite different from Northern Chatham, where basically they're starting with virtually a clean slate. Even places like Medmen, where I mean, there's a lot of empty land that can be developed. So I think the challenges are quite different, and I don't think we're ever going to see the growth that Wake is seeing.
Damon Siles, and
well, I also think it would be, the style of growth that's happening in those other communities is not something I'm particularly interested in seeing in Orange County. So yes, it may be the fact that growth is happening at a quick pace in those areas, but I'd like us to think a little bit more deeply about the type of growth that we want to see in our towns, in our county. Carrboro and I believe, to a great extent, Chapel Hill, have land use management ordinances that are designed for a different century. We haven't caught up, and so to the extent that we are still allowing some growth to happen where it can happen, we are providing incentives through the ordinances to developers to develop in a way that is 50 years out of date, that's not environmentally sustainable, it's not equitable for the community in terms of supporting affordability and middle-class lifestyles, and it's not going to help us achieve our goals of providing services, as Bonnie says, efficiently. If we continue to develop in that manner.
Bonnie, thoughts on all that?
Yeah, I agree completely that, you know, and the question that keeps coming up for me is, as we grow, what process do we use to jointly plan? Because each silo, if you will, is running on their own assumptions. So what the growth in Chapel Hill or Carrboro is certainly going to affect social services, schools, and we don't have these joint planning processes so that we can grow effectively. I'll give you plus I think there's some structural changes so when you think about how technology is changing the way we can deliver services, I think we need different models for doing that. You know, so for example, Orange County, if you look at their capital budgets, which I brought, it's a prop. Orange County is spending a lot of money to expand its office spaces. Now, Mia has been very good in the discussions. Orange County has 1 acre of file storage. 1 acre of file storage. They have 70,000 square feet of meeting spaces. The commissioner's got a wonderful presentation on changing the way offices are configured into more open spaces. And then they were presented with a plan that asked for more space based on the old way of doing things. So it was really very confusing. So I feel like we're investing tens of millions of dollars in office capital not aligned with the priorities of the people, when we could be giving some of that money to school improvements, not wait for a bond, do that today. So these are some of the issues of joint planning, and are we investing in old ways of doing things rather than jointly planning for the future?
Mia Burrows.
So, appreciate the props there.
Would you like to look at
them? No.
Mad props.
Hashtag.
Hashtag mad props. So I think, you know, I just sort of a clarification is Bonnie does mention that excellent space study, which the current commission, or the previous set of commissioners, I should say, had asked for, to understanding how you would use space, and we had that presentation. It was concurrent with a proposed capital investment plan, but it's proposed. There's nothing, it hasn't been voted on, so I just want to make sure that that's clear to folks. And there's still definitely the opportunity for folks to ask the question that I ask and will ask with every new thing, why now? Why is this something that we need to do this year? Is it something, it may be in a plan, a parks plan or what have you, that maybe it doesn't need to be quite yet, and that we can look at those priorities and come back to what we were talking about, which your values are in how you actually spend the money. The county budget also is really, it's a five-year plan, but you're really only committing for that first year. So there's not, if you've committed it's to start a building, obviously you will finish it in the out years. But if you're beyond that, what you're doing, you've committed for 1 year, and then there's lots of room for continued discussion about what you're going to do. And in fact, the other thing I do want to say is that acre of space and files is well known, and the reason that that number came to us is because we're working on it. We're attempting to move that. And in particular, I was in the sheriff's office the other maybe 2-3 weeks ago, and they're working very hard to get the files out of there so they can make room for their folks.
We got a clarification question, I think mostly from Sean McCarthy on Twitter. We talked about this in the first half of this hour. What are some examples of non-taxable property? We've talked about this, but
this is actually
would the acre count as non-taxable?
Yes, it would, actually. Yeah. This is my favorite bit of trivia. Actually, the largest landowner in Orange County is Duke University.
Really? I was about to say UNC.
I know okay. You were. Yeah. I should have let you
I
do
started
it.
Started to say that, and then you.
It's
yeah.
Duke it's University because of Duke Forest, and so that is non-taxable property, just as an example. So I like right. want you to know that.
But it's you. But there's not every acre is equal, right? So an acre in Caldwell is I don't know what the value. Let's say it's between $5,000 and $10,000. An acre, whereas an acre in Chapel Hill could be
million.
Yeah.
Right.
If
so
you're lucky,
so
I think downtown.
And
yeah.
And I think what is it, 30 or 35% of the property in Chapel Hill is owned by UNC or UNC Healthcare.
That sounds like a reasonable number.
Right.
You know, in defense of UNC Healthcare, some of the property they've acquired recently, they have been paying taxes on.
No, I think that's an important point, George, and I appreciate you making it.
So. And for instance, 123 West Franklin, that new development is going to occur. But in some situations, that's not guaranteed in perpetuity that
right.
will occur.
Right.
I mean, so it's always something that hangs over us. And we always look at potentially developable property. And when the healthcare system or the university looks at it, it makes us nervous.
Right, and dirt.
Damon, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say on this point about non-taxable property, especially with regard to the university. I mean, okay, we can, I guess, talk about that as a structural problem or sort of a thing that hangs over our heads, but it's not something that's going away. And maybe what's best for us to do is just simply accept it as a feature of our community. We all love having the university here. I don't think we would, I mean, the idea that somehow that's going to change would be catastrophic. So I think, you know, the conversation really needs to be less about what our non-taxable property is and what we're doing with our taxable property. And how that relates to the budget.
Bonnie?
It's a given on the non-taxable, but it's something that as it's just something that makes fiscal planning for our elected officials more difficult. So something that we have to accept as an issue. Durham is in partnership with Duke Medical, and they really, as policy, try to have more of the medical centers on taxable, privately held, and Duke Medical rents the property. And that's,
that's increasingly happening with the university
which is great.
In Orange County.
That's
in
a
Chapel
really
Hill, so.
Positive. And other, just to answer your caller's question, there's the UNC, there's all our governments, AWASA, all our not-for-profits, all the not-for-profit, NGOs that operate in our county. And then if you go out into the county, many of our farms and properties, especially if you're over 10 acres, have tax easements. So there's conservation easements that are and also working farm easements where they get substantially reduced taxes. So and there's one other piece of that, the NGOs and the not-for-profits don't pay sales taxes either. So there's an but we just have to consider that in terms of what the potential is.
And that sort of raises another question, which is, you know, we've been talking about this in the context of property taxes, raising revenue that way. You mentioned sales taxes. I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, in terms of a percent value, property taxes are close to the highest in the state, but then when you factor in the actual value of property, as Bonnie said, we do pay quite a bit more. Are there other ways to raise revenue besides property taxes, sales taxes? Are there more creative ways to pay? We've talked about this in the context of transit. Are there other sort of creative means of raising revenue? Damon?
Well, yes, sometimes.
and what are they?
Well, I think, though, perhaps the biggest barrier to that, however, is the state of North Carolina. So there are features of our community that make us dependent more than many other communities on property taxes rather than, say, sales taxes and other sources of revenue. But we're also limited in the options we have by the General Assembly, by statute. So we can, again, this strikes me as one of those structural features of our community that we can, you know, talk about in a sort of gloomy way, but it's not changing anytime soon. And we make our fiscal decisions in that context, and that's not going to change either.
George.
Well, I think one of the things we can do is encourage as much business development as possible, because if we can create jobs, those people are going to spend money. Even, you know, if they come from outside the county, they're going to go out to lunch, they're potentially going to shop here. So it's, again, that's through sales tax, et cetera, but it's also encouraging. If they're eating at a local eatery, you're supporting that eatery. It all filters down. So I think that's one of the things we've not done nearly as good a job, I think, as we could, is encouraging businesses to move here. Now, part of it is the rents. I mean, our rents tend to be higher than neighboring communities, particularly Durham. And so we need to figure out a way to get businesses here. And I think that's a challenge. It's been quite a challenge, but it's one that we shouldn't walk away from and just admit defeat.
Yeah, what do you think step one is as far as that goes?
It's having, you know, everyone, developers want to build Class A office space, for instance. Nobody wants to build Class B space because they don't see enough return on investment. But if you look at where startups go, startups don't go to Class A space, and that's how you get a business going. And unfortunately, we're not like Durham, that we have a lot of old warehouses that you can, you know, refurbish and have startups, you know, multiple startups in there. We just don't have that kind of space. So I think it's going to take someone, and I don't know if it's the governments or if it's some private investors, to say, you know, this community needs, and when I say the community, I'm talking about Orange County, needs investment, and I'm willing to take a risk for, you know, a little less return on my investment at the beginning, but potentially more long-term return, and build some Class B space or something that can encourage businesses to come here.
I remember, I think it was Mark Kleinschmidt saying months ago, something to the effect of, I don't think he used the word dilapidated, but man, wouldn't it be nice if we had a whole bunch of dilapidated old buildings that we could fix up like Durham has, because they've really made it look nice. Bonnie Hauser, you had a point.
No, I agree with George that commercial development is the answer, and it would be great if we could look more holistically, because it might not be in, the development opportunity may not be in town. You know, in the last session, Bernadette talked about how there are thousands of acres in Eflin that have been zoned for commercial development. They're right on the interstate. Mia came up to me. We're actually working with the community up there to try and look at how to bring in more development. Morinaga, when Morinaga opens, it has a tax incentive for 5 years, but then it's going to put $500,000 a year on the tax base, no schools, no services, no demand on services. So that's a big deal. The taxpayers, and if you can ask about the bond soon, the taxpayers were asked a couple of years ago to pay for a quarter cent sales tax for economic development. We've spent millions of dollars in economic development, but it's not here.
Bonds are literally the next question. So, yeah.
So, not here in Chapel Hill, but the water and sewer, I believe, that made Morinaga possible did come from that quarter cent tax. So just to...
Yes, I agree with that, but the businesses haven't followed. And I think we have an incredible economic development director who I personally credit for bringing in Morinaga. But what can we do about seeing if we can put pressure on to bring in, accelerate bringing in economic development in that area? And it may not be money. I don't know. And one other point. We've talked about Mebane. We've talked about Northern Jersey. I live in Orange County. I love Orange County. That's why I'm here. I think we can do better. We will not be the cheapest place to live. There's no way. But with better planning, we can be far and away the best place to live. And I think we've lost that edge. And I think we need to regain that edge.
Sort of pound for pound, the best valued.
Absolutely. It's a value game.
Yeah. And Bonnie, you raised the issue of bonds, which was exactly the next question. George Santioli, you mentioned a possible bond on the ballot in 2015 for Chapel Hill, 2016, a bigger one potentially for Orange County, $125 million bond referendum for schools, et cetera. And Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Orange County schools need $330 million, I believe, something like that, in repairs, maintenance, expanded facilities. So $125 million is just the start of that. About maybe a 4, maximum 5 cent increase in property taxes going along with that, unlike Chapel Hill. What happened to voters say no to it?
That's a good question. The county, I think, will continue to do right by the schools, just not nearly as quickly, and probably won't have the opportunity to get out ahead of the need to construct another middle school or another elementary school. So I'll be working very hard to encourage voters to pass it, because I think it just everything about it is Chapel Hill, Carrboro, Orange County values. We love education. We love reuse. So by refurbishing the schools, we're reusing what we've got. It's keeping the pressure off land, because if we continue to need to build new schools, where there's only 3 or 4 more parcels that I know of or places you can build it. So having it fail, first of all, this community is very dedicated to its public schools and has been for decades, more than decades. And so I think we will need to do an education job. I think one of the things about schools is that the challenges that they have are very visual. You can get photographs of things, the cracks or the things, the flooding that's happening over at Chapel Hill High, the kids having to walk through 3 inches of water, those kinds of things. But worst case scenario, it fails. The commission will continue to fund it and may, has already actually put together planning money. It's in the recommended CIP that I've said we haven't passed yet, but I expect it will stay there to get a project shovel ready for the passage of the bond. If the bond weren't to pass, I think we would find a way to make that happen. The bond is a commitment, and folks bring up, why haven't we done better planning? I described earlier why some of these needs have come about, and this is the beginning of a really detailed plan to do it, to bring up these buildings to speed so they'll last another 50, 60 years, because that's what we do here. We're going to use these schools for a good long time, so we got to do it right.
Yeah, it is a commitment. We had the quarter-cent sales tax we mentioned, the half-cent sales tax just passed, $40 million for Chapel Hill, albeit without taxes, or $90 million this fall, and then more next year, possibly. So, Damon?
Yeah, I appreciate Mia describing earlier some of the stresses on the school system over the past several years based on the economy and losses of state funding and so on. And yes, the school system is an incredibly important commitment in this community, an important value that I think we express through the budget. We have for many, many years expressed through the budget our valuing of the school systems. But we have a lot of other values too, and I would encourage my friend and colleague on the Board of Commissioners to keep that in mind as well as we go forward and talk about bond referenda and so on, that it's not just about education, it's about other issues of infrastructure and so on. So we have other values here that we need to be talking about.
Yeah.
And I absolutely agree, Damon. And there is always the opportunity. We have, we do capital projects through the regular budget, as Bonnie's often mentioned, on a regular basis as well. Saying that we're going to really address this challenge with the schools does not mean that we're never going to increase space at the Southern Human Services Center for dental clinics or perhaps increased space at the Seymour Center. Those things, picking the one thing for the bond, there's a number of strategic reasons to do that, plus the need is so very great, as Aaron said, but we will continue certainly. As the board as it is constituted now, there's no way I'd see them not continuing to support things. It may not be, as I said earlier, it may not be at the speed that folks want, maybe, over a more extended timeline, those kinds of things. But the values haven't changed for the whole range of services that we care about and facilities that you need to house those services in.
We've only got 2 minutes left, so I believe Bonnie Hauser will get the last word.
I hope the bond referendum becomes a referendum on taxes, right? Because the commissioners always have the option to fund the schools and borrow debt the way Chapel Hill has decided to do half of its debt with its own financing. The commissioners can do all the financing with that. The real issue with the school, and if you look at the $330 million, it is 10 or 15 years of improvement. It's not been laid on a timeline. It's not been laid with any enrollment projections. And there's some number of them that are essential, but not everything. There's $20 million of improvements to the offices, the district offices. Those certainly could wait. The big issue that needs attention is the school funding policy. Orange County funds its schools at 49% of its taxes. If you do it that way, then over time, as our schools age, capital will eat more and more of that budget, and we will be systematically underfunding our schools. I'm not arguing that our schools need more money. I'm arguing that we need to be planning the capital better so that we don't get into this knee-jerk of, oh, we have to issue a bond because of a sudden state of crisis. So we have to fix the funding policies.
And that is going to do it for us here this hour. You've been listening to our discussion of budgets, once again, right here on the 2015 WCHL Community Forum. Thanks again to all four of our panelists, Orange County Commissioner Mia Burrows, Chapel Hill Town Council Member George Cianciolo, Carborough Alderman Damon Siles, Orange County activist Bonnie Hauser. You can hear this and every other hour of today's forum on our website, chapelboro.com, and we'll also be re-airing it here on WCHL in the coming weeks. I'm Aaron Keck. Thanks for listening.
This year's WCHL Community